Welcome to the Cricket Show. To call in, 151-560-5980.
151-560-5980.
We are on each and every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our host is Leon Francis, and co-hosts Iva Henry, Audley Watson, Simon O'Brien, David Maitland, Virgil Francis, and Cardinal Mills. Our website is blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. You can also find us in the Apple Store, The Cricket Show.
Well, a pleasant good evening to each and every one of you being with us. I'm sorry for the late start. We seem to be having a little bit of a hiccup along the way, but we are here now. So let's see if we can bring in Mr. McKenzie. Mr. McKenzie, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. How are you? Merry Christmas, everyone. Sorry to be away last Sunday. I could be at the University of Texas for a graduation ceremony. So I'm glad to be back with everybody today.
Christmas to you, and we want to welcome Mr. McKenzie.
Yes, sir.
Happy holidays, sir.
Happy holidays to you, sir, and to all our listeners. I hope everybody else is with their Christmas shopping. So make it a great, pleasant, and safe Christmas.
Yes, indeed. I would hope so. But first, you have to make sure you have that money to shop. A lot of us shop with the plastic, and come January, we're like, wow, I have all this stuff, and next thing they dry up.
That's an interesting thing to do.
Yes, but if you're a typical Christmas shopper, we know what happened. A lot of returns happen in January.
That's
take
right.
It back to the store. Yes. Yes, it happened. Well, it just you and I are here in terms of panelists. Ollie is, he'll be coming in a little later. We hope that nothing is happening with Leon because the show is just there waiting to be logged on. So I just came from the park, from the cricket, and I got a few calls saying that we're not on. So I just came and logged in.
Okay, that was nice of you. That's what you're here
yes.
for.
Okay, well,
this morning.
Beg your pardon?
You see what happened in India this morning? They lost the third ODI match there.
Yes, David
was
just.
I was disappointed in that. I thought you could have pulled it off.
I thought so too. So give us your thoughts on it.
Well, I thought we 215 runs. That's quite a lot. But I think we bowled very, very badly. I can't imagine Cartwright giving 74 runs off 10 overs. Come on, Cartwright. You have to do better than that, you know? Cartwright is more economical than that. I don't know what the heck went wrong with his bowling today, but they really soured him up, you know? 74 runs off 10 overs. Our bowling was very, very bad. And I think that was the crux of the matter. Because Sean John 15 runs, you could have done it. And to see that they won the match with just about 10 balls to spare. 10 balls to spare. 48-something or 0.2 overs on their run. And if we had just bowled a little tidier, we could have pulled that match off. That's my thought. Hello?
Yes, I heard David saying that the feeling was very sloppy as well. So that doesn't sound well at all. It doesn't sound good.
No, you cannot win a match in that fashion with sloppy bowling and sloppy feeling. You can't do that, you know. You know, we have to tighten up. We really have to tighten up in all aspects of the game. Our bowling coach has to do much, much better. And our fielding coach has to get the boys out there fit and ready to take the catches and pick up the loose balls.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think that 350, that was a lot of ones. I think we should have been able to defend that. Unless they were going gung-ho and hitting the ball out over the ropes, because you can't defend sixes. But in terms of, you know, boundary hitting and ones and twos, you're supposed to be able to restrict a team 50 overs to 215 ones. I believe so. That's a lot of ones.
That's a defendable total. And we really fail in doing that, you know. And let the boys in with about 10 deliveries to spare. If we had bowled a little tighter, we could, and feel a little better, we could have won that match. And we expect of what they're going to say, we went down very badly. And we cannot continue in this path. We cannot.
No, I mean, the signs. I mean, we are thinking about getting a team for the next World Cup, which is only 4 years away. People think it's a long time, but you have to begin to get your team in readiness now. And I don't know how many of these guys are going to be there, getting battered and bruised and left for dead. They're going to have to try more people. Sometimes you find that Evan Lewis and those guys, yes, they have the names, but you realize what these other clubs are doing, teams. They're trying different players to make sure that they get acclimatized and make sure they get a good feel, not wait until somebody either sick or half dead or just not available to give them a try. You give Ambrose one match, and then you say, well, that's it for you, pal, because Evan Lewis, I understand, sucked up a whole lot of balls today. The guy is not fit. If he's not fit, they just have to let him get himself in readiness. And you have a whole guy there, just can't sleep the night before a match, don't know if he's going to play. That's not good. So when you come in, he's like...
Not at all.
That's the problem I think we have with our selection, and certain people can rest easy and certain people can just tell themselves, I'm up all night wondering.
That's
not good.
That's right. And we have a rough schedule next year. I think Ireland coming in January, we're going to play Ireland. And then further down the road, I think we have South Africa will be coming in. But so we have to really tune up ourselves. I thought we would have done better over there. We lost to Afghanistan in our T20 match. This shouldn't have happened. We should have swept Afghanistan in all formats of the game. We should have done that, even if we lose 2-1 to India. But we should have swept Afghanistan. You know, when we come onto those little minions, we shouldn't let them want to get in our way. And Scotland is coming. I think Ireland is coming in January, and they are going to come in with a very strong team, and we better be prepared. So I hope our coach will be having our boys all ready to go, because that's going to be another interesting series right in January.
Yeah, well, we have Mr. Patel with us, so we have to say good evening to him and happy holidays as well.
Merry Christmas to you, sir. Where is he? Is he hiding?
Hello?
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, sir. Happy holidays.
Yeah, I was just tied up today for coaching in Michigan, so now I got time to on the radio until we end today. And missed out last weekend too because I was in California coaching for the University of Southern California.
So
lot of good things is happening in U.S. cricket. So let's carry on, whatever the talks you have ongoing, and I'll just pitch in when it's needed.
Okay, well, we were at the point where Mr. McKenzie was chastising the West Indies team for not showing up today to defend a mammoth total of 315, and was very disappointing, especially in Cottrell, who is normally a reliable economical bowler, and seems as if he went off the boil at the wrong time. When it comes down to the final match and you're only playing one match, forget about what would have gone on before. It doesn't seem as if we're very good at that. We had the same thing against Afghanistan. You're playing for all of the marbles and you're coming up short. That's not a good way to go. We're thinking about World Cup, which is not too far off. Some people might say, oh, it's 4 years. No, 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 no. People now are thinking about putting the teams together for the next World Cup down in Australia. So my advice to the West Indies selectors, you know it's going to be Australia with bouncy wickets. It doesn't make sense to be carrying the people who, you know, may be good at spin and spin alone, or they might make some runs over in India and some low flat wickets like in the West Indies. We have to begin to look at the guys now who maybe are not afraid of it. I heard one of the commentators today in India saying, oh, forget about the Johnson Charles and forget about this and try the new guys. But I would tell him, no, no, no. Johnson Charles made a century in Australia and then came back here back-to-back, make a century against, I think it was Bangladesh, when they next played. But if he is in form, and that's a guy who's not fearful of fast bowling and can play the bouncing ball, why are we, I mean, that's his opinion. He was one of the Indian commentators saying that. But I am hoping that our selectors are looking that way. Don't look and think we're playing in England, you're going to pick somebody who can play the swinging ball. We must be putting, give Pollard, if he's going to be the captain in the next 4 years, him and whomever, and the Poland and those guys, you've got to get them to get accustomed to some fast, bouncy wickets. So what's going to happen now? They have to prepare those kind of wickets in the West Indies, not this low, slow tracks that people go in and just whack a ball around and then they come up with 100 and next thing they go Australia, they're running. So that's where we were, Mr. Patel, where Leon, we were on earlier, we carried matches live from the Central Board Stadium, and I just got in and realized that we were not on. We got a few calls, our ardent listeners, Donna Mertris, and a few other persons, David, saying they're trying to get in, but it's just some elevator music being played. So I decided, well, let me go and see if we can log on. So let's hope that everything, all is well with Liam.
Well, I'll be here with you. One of the things in Australia, what you must need to realize is that Australia is teeming with at least four good pace bowlers. At least four. And there's a left-hander one there, it's him, Stark. He will move that ball and bounce that ball at you. So we better be prepared to meet those guys, because Australia is not going to let up. The wicket is going to be fast down there. And I am going to be sorry. They are going to get some bruises. They are really going to be in for a bruising time in Australia with those pace bowlers, because Australia plays one spinner all the while, and that's Lions. And they're not going to bring in no more spin bowlers. They don't do that down there. They use pace, morning, noon, and night. So get ready for that. It's going to be a barrage of bouncers down there.
Well, let's see what Mr. Patel has to say. He wanted the introduction, so...
Okay.
Well, first of all, we have to understand that West Indies is kind of, to me, in my opinion, is in a rebuilding process. Let's take it this way. Number two, I think it was a long due to bring an experienced player to lead the field and guide our new players as well as inexperienced players. And looks like, in my opinion, at least, they did better than what they used to do last year. How about that?
Now I can see the fans are talking that we could have win it. Last year, everyone was talking like it's horrible. Just like that, you know? They were losing by distance. Now at least we see something where everyone is talking like, we could have won this thing. How about that, right? We are kind of close. The matter of time, I will say, is about this team. Team is not about working together. Team is not about going on the field together. Team is, to me, it's all about how we can achieve that common goal and understanding each other, supporting each other, trusting each other, clearly communicating with each other. So there's a lot of factors involved to make a strong championship team. And I believe it's not an easy task. It takes a lot. And once you got a couple of experienced players, it can be easier job than what's going on the field right now. Let me tell you, we're playing T20. It does not matter whether you put the fast bowler or speed bowler. Batsmen do not go out there to have a swing at every delivery. Doesn't matter whether it spins or not. The bottom line, I believe we need to go India way or England way or the New Zealand way. What they're doing it? They are only trying to do what? Every bowler all goes out there, try to contain the batsman, give enough problems so they throw the wicket. And on the same time, their batting lineup, like we've seen this last World Cup in England, right? Initially, when the World Cup started, we had expectation that someone gonna hit the 500 runs in this World Cup. Did not happen. Instead, all sort of entertainment we got from bowlers, some sort of main batsmen or mainstays, lots of batsmen did not do well. But overall, we have to remember one thing. The player can win the game for his performance, but we need a team to become a champion. And that process is going to take a while. Definitely, West Indies has to look into different ways to bring the right people in to make the team. And it's a little bit, to me, I'm telling you, I was long due, and I don't care how many panelists we have right now, they will not agree with me. They will never agree with me in past either, whether it was a coach or bringing Prevo back, but he's coming. And I believe it doesn't matter what he did, but it will definitely help the team. His experience and expertise to work as a team. And that is the big thing to have it. And then you got this spinner right here. Is it Samuel Badri is coming back from retirement? Is that right? I read the article somewhere. So what happens is basically now we're going to have the competitive team. And there's some of the inexperienced and new players need some sort of working together situation with this new formation, which is ongoing, which is we are just what? We played Afghanistan and now India. Now it's two different things when you play Afghanistan and India. So we better wait for another few months to see how this progress is ongoing. It's all about nurturing or creating a good culture where everyone can play together. And that is a more difficult job here when you have a couple of old senior players are coming back in a team, bringing experience and expertise. But at the same time, there is a lot of talented and potential players out there who can perform. They need the comfort in the team to do well. And looking at these two losses or losing India in a recent series, whether it's a T20 or ODI, I will say West Indies is not in a winning mode yet, but they are close to it. If you look at this performance compared to last 2 years, I think they are close to winning situation now. That is the big thing.
That is very well said. Very well said. But when are we? There's a bit. There's there's a lack of consistency in that area.
Not only that,
you win one today, you lose tomorrow. You win today, you lose tomorrow. We can't put up with that crap, man. We have to put something on the board.
I have a different opinion on that. It's not about performing consistent basis. It's good to have it if you have the consistent player to perform every game. But when you have a good team, it's all about how they coordinate each other or complement each other. That's a big thing. Complement means we learn from the great team under the Clive Lloyd, right? If one bowler does not do the job on a particular day when he has a, let's say, average day or bad day, what happens? The another baller steps up and take care of the business for you, right? That is not happening here. One or two performer performs, and there is a absolutely horrible to say the third or fourth person is not a part of the team. He is putting something completely different performance, and that's what we're losing right now for the West Indies. If everybody puts everything they have, or if they are working at their best potential, these losses can be avoided. When you lose with this sort of margin, when you put 300 something, and if you lose it, it's definitely there is something need to be tweaked inside. It's not about changing one or two player, I will say. It's all about tweaking and fixing those minor problems.
How do you account for India winning the match today with 10 deliveries to spare? Ken?
All right, let's get Cardinal to answer that question for us. Welcome, okay. Cardinal.
Good evening, Iva. Good evening, Mr. Patel and Mr. McKenzie.
Good evening, Mr. Cardinal. Good evening, sir. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir. And let me say good evening to all the fans, friends, and supporters of the Black Dog Radio Cricket Show. And I know most of the people around are Christians and are about to celebrate Christmas in the next couple of days. But whatever you celebrate, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, I'm hoping you'll do it with a great spirit. Yes, we're looking at India and the West Indies. The first thing I got to say, I think, you know, West Indies, in this match, they show signs of a disposition to compete. At least, they batted first, and they put what I would consider to be a respectable total on the board. And the other thing is that, you know, you had some, you know, some performances that are notable to the extent that, you know, we didn't have even though the top order did not perform that greatly, you have people coming in between. You want to see that, you know, happening more and more. You want to see that happening more consistently. But having said that, putting 315 runs on the board, now we got to focus on our bowlers. And, you know, you wonder if they put the best that they got forward into defending that 315 run. I would think that, you know, 388, you know, it's on the high end of thing. But yeah, in today's ODI matches, 315, 320 is about what you would consider to be a score that you should win with. Runs on the board, scoreboard pressure, and all of these things that we talk about in cricket commentary at your disposal when you set a total of something like 315. But I would like to say that I've seen over the series, I've seen more of the spirit of a competition and India edging out. The fact that they made it with 8 balls to spare, you know, it's part of the competition. It's part of the competition. So I would like to hope that this is a trend that they're going to set that they plan to take forward. I did not see the batting performances, so I cannot really comment on that. I did not see much of how the batsmen got out. So, you know, because sometimes you can look and see, well, you know, you are 37. You should have gone on to make a century the way you were batting. You just, you know, give it up. And I see that happening a lot in West Indies batsmen. Nevertheless, Nicholas Curran came in there and, you know, he upped the scoring rate. And I'm going to continue to say, Curran seems to need to get out of the mindset that half centuries are good enough for him. He got to get to the point where he can carry on scoring at a brisk pace and score centuries. Let him be noted for that, so that when he walks to the wicket, he walks in with an advantage. That player, the moment he walks to the wicket, the men on the field are under pressure, because they know this guy don't get in there. He's going to score. He's going to score fast, and he's going to make big runs. That third element, making big runs, he has to get it in his arsenal. I like he's coming more consistently than most batsmen, making consistent 50s. Now you got to get into translation mode. That 50 got to translate into 100. Nobody going to remember them after a while. But they're going to remember when you make that century that time. So it counts towards his record, and it counts towards his character. Because I think when you're batting that well, what really happens while you get out is that your focus and your concentration, your mental strength somehow breaks down, gives way, and you're not able to carry on into the next thing. You know, we can remember Ramnaras Sawan having that problem and never get past the 90s and the 80s for a considerable amount of time. But, you know, Curran got to get to the idea, hey, half a century is not good enough for me. And I'm good enough to get over this hump. And I'm good enough to get it consistently. He got to put the fear of Viv Richards into people who face West Indies cricket. You know. And that's an advantage, that thing. You know, again, you know, you've got, you know, people like Chris Gayle. Nobody knows when he's going to make runs. But they know if he gets a chance, he's going to power that ball, he's going to make his runs quickly, and he's going to make a big score. Well, Curran has to take up that role. And I said the fear of Viv Richards, because that's what Viv Richards did to feel inside when he walked to the wicket. They know this man is going to have all three things in his arsenal, and he's coming at them with all guns blazing. Curran has that capacity. Hetmyer also has that capacity. But he cannot, he has to bring some consistency to the game. Made a century in the first game. Come back and do it again. Make them fear you when you walk into the wicket. Make them say, this is a West Indian side. And you see them five guys there? Any three of them gun fire in any match. That's an advantage. You begin to put the feeling side under pressure real quick. So those guys got to come in there with the mentality that's what they intend to do. Curran, Hetmyer, Evan Lewis, Ty Hope, you would call him the stabilizer up front, and then you have Pollard coming back and coming in the lower order as all signs came up. Then you have somebody like Timo Paul. You know, if he comes up with his consistency, you got a powerful team there. And 315 runs would suddenly look like 370. You know. For
okay,
the
well.
To defend. And again, like I said, I was going to get at the bowlers, because you're supposed to be thinking. I'm thinking. When you have 315 runs to the board, you're thinking about defending those ones. So every ball you bowl, it's got to be a ball that makes the batsman uncomfortable. No, you don't have the task of trying to get his wicket. but make it difficult for him to play. That's how you defend your run. I don't have to get you out, but you ain't going to get a boundary out for me either. And I'm sure they could bowl balls like that consistently. You know, the moment you start trying a thing to get a wicket, that's when sometimes you're going to get loose. And then 315 runs, you know, with people like Sharma, Kohli, and so on, 315 runs would be a lot more difficult to defend.
Okay, Colonel, well, let's hear from Simon. We'll do the birthday hour an hour late. We're going to do it at 8 o'clock. So we just want to say good evening. Well, first, let's get Audley say good evening, and then Simon say good evening, and I'm sure he has a question for the panelists.
Yes, and a very good evening to you. Audley, good evening, Mr. Virgil, Mr. Ivor, good evening, Mr. McKenzie, Mr. Patel.
Good evening, sir, good evening.
And also I say good evening to Mr. Mills. I just heard his speech a while ago and saying how he wished that West Indies would make 800 runs and India can make 800. So I know there is good news somewhere there. Gentlemen, I hope everyone had a wonderful week last week, and I'm hoping for a much, much better week this week. And I'm wishing everyone a very merry, safe, and a healthy Christmas to you and your whole family.
We thank you. Audley?
Okay, good evening, gentlemen, and for listeners throughout the world, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I must apologize. When you spoke to me, I totally misunderstood what you were saying. So, you know, I instead tried to get Leon on his phone and myself, but I just could not get him. So I just said, okay, nothing is going on this evening. So good thing you called me back there, because I totally misunderstood what you told me, as a matter of fact. I got it wrong.
Yes, okay. So like I said, we'll do the birthday hour at 8. So Simon, we are going to entertain a question from you at this time. Make it an easy
okay,
one since Christmas,
Christmas
is around the corner.
And I know that Mr. Patel will be happy if he's with us. Okay, gentlemen,
yes,
and ladies listening. Centuries did Tendulkar score in his career, test career, I'm talking about test career. How many centuries did he score in test career?
That's an easy one. Yeah.
Repeat the question. And for bonus, I'll give you another easy question. Hold on. Whilst you're thinking, I'll be back to you.
I know he scored 100 international. I know he scored 100 international centuries, but I think he scored more ODI centuries than not. I think he scored more ODI centuries than Test centuries. So it's in the 40s. It's in the 40s. They're 45, 40. Some more 40 centuries coming to me, but I'm not sure.
Well,
overall, it's 100 international centuries. But as to how they are divided, I know it's more ODIs than tests. But I don't know the exact amount.
Well, I don't have an answer for you. Just answer, and then if that's your final answer, we'll move on.
Yeah. Mr. Sachin Tendulkar scored 49 test centuries and 51 one-day centuries.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Okay, Mr. McKenzie.
Well, I would say repeat the question, please.
You want me to repeat it?
Yeah, repeat the question.
Yes, how many test centuries did Tendulkar score? Test centuries. And for bonus points, in how many innings?
Then those
but you get one question
about,
give me one question
first. 25 test centuries.
Okay.
30 test centuries. 30, I think.
Okay.
Okay,
if you
well,
want to go for the bonus points.
Well, I'll go before Mr. Patel because I'm sure he will get it. I'm a given educated guess. I know he was going neck and neck to see if he can score 50.
I know Mr. McKay. I know Mr. Patel would know.
That's why I'm going to leave him for last.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave him for last.
I know that also that Mr. Mills would get close. He's always very close.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit. Let me give it a shot. I say 52 ODIs and 48 test centuries. I know he was close somewhere there.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And
you want to go for the bonus points?
I mean, when you said test, wow, he scored.
How many innings he played?
Ah, that one is going to beat me. I'm not even going to come close to that. But I know there's some 200 around.
Okay,
I
got your answer. Okay,
okay,
what about the others? Anybody? Virgil, you're interested in having a shot at it?
No, we didn't get Virgil. Mr. Patel.
Okay, I'm here to get you. Let me tell you, it's a god of cricket for me. I pray every day. He scored 51 centuries.
Okay.
And 49. So 51
Ooh,
of them is in test match.
Okay. And how many for bonus points? In how many innings?
I have no clue on the bonus point. I believe he played. I lost the track on that one. I know how many test match he played, but not sure on inning. But I believe
okay.
360 something.
Okay, all right, okay, I got your answer. Okay, we went all around the panel, and I'll give the answer.
Yes.
He played 200 test matches. I don't know how many innings.
Yeah,
I know
not for sure.
200 test.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'll give you my answer here from my book here from London, ICC. Tendulkar has the record at the moment. He scored 51 centuries in tests.
Wow,
51
wow.
In tests. In tests.
Whoa.
And like
49 ODI and D20.
Right. And been so good, you said 200. That was very good. You have that one right. And he played 329 innings. So you are close.
He played 200 tests. Simon, check, double check. He played 200 tests.
Yes,
and
329 innings.
He used to bat at number 3, 4, or 5. So
yeah.
I believe he should have at least 200 innings in first inning, and
yeah.
I will say at least 100 more for the second inning in every test, and
yeah.
you may have 20, 30 here and there.
Right. You're there. You're in the ballpark.
But you announced it already, Simon. You said it's 329. So that's...
No, well,
that's
my book says 329 innings. And he
yeah,
had 51.
Did include not out? I think it's more than 360 with some not outs, like 34 or something.
No, but
I'm saying test. Mr. Patel,
I'm saying test.
Yeah.
The book says
saying it's 329. That's what the book is saying.
Yeah, the book says 329 test innings. Test innings, and 200 51 centuries, and 200 test matches. Okay, so we're there, we're in the ballpark. Okay, now, so since that you got so close, I know that oddly, Ivor is going to be an easy one tonight.
Well, let me see. I'm a hard task master. Let me see how easy I can get down from my thing.
Yeah.
West Indies in India.
Okay.
How many more ODIs do they have to play? They would have played 3 already. How many more
okay.
do they have to play?
Okay, I know they were going to play 3 ODIs and 3 2020s. That's what they were scheduled to play. And I think they already completed all 6.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer?
Well, you are correct.
100%. Yes, I know the 3-3, and they weren't playing in tests at this time, so I know that they completed all 6. And I'd like to know the final out of the six, how many we won?
I think both are 2-1. Korea and T20, both 2-1.
Okay.
In favor of India.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're
over India, 2-1.
Yeah. And
so
for
2020? Yeah, that's it. One.
Okay.
The question was how many games they won in ODIs.
Okay.
All right. And 2020, they won total 2.
Okay, thank you so much for that information.
If you look at the T20, West Indies did excellent in the first game. They won it.
Okay.
But then they could not figure out how to keep that winning formula, right? And,
I understand.
By the time they switch 20 to 50 overs, to me, their biggest problem is this team is not able to handle pressure.
I do understand you.
And by that sort of thing, I will say they don't know how to create the pressure for the other team. That is the reason they lost today.
I get you.
If
well,
we
you
have
know
that
I'm
big
gonna...
score,
yeah.
If you have that big score, what it takes? You take
yeah.
a few
you know,
wickets.
Yeah.
If continue pressuring, West Indies had a 2 wickets today, under
yeah.
150, in
yeah.
a matter of 31 overs. Why
yeah.
we could not have keep the pressure on? They did not do it.
Yeah. You know,
because
I have to say, I don't feel so badly
yeah.
because
yeah.
we are playing against the best team in the world
yeah.
ever. No, I'm going to be honest. At the moment, India is the best team in the world ever. That's the way I look at it. In all formats, they have the best. They put the most money in the team, and the people support them. And I asked a question before, which came first, the horse or the cart? I said, do you think that people supporting the cricket make them play better, or they play better because people are supporting them? So it works both ways. So I'm going to say I don't feel so badly because they're up against the best team that the world has ever seen. No, this is my opinion
so,
now.
So, Simon, quick question for you, Simon.
Yes.
So are you saying the present Indian team is better than the West Indies team when they're ruling for some 14, 15 years?
14 years.
You think
yeah.
I'll
say at the moment India is much better.
No.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
you
can't say ever. But you keep on, you say at the moment, then you say ever. So,
yeah,
ever
well,
India
I'll say
the best ever.
You know, I have to look at statistics. Their winning record. I think India's got the best team in the world ever, in
right,
my
no,
opinion.
No, presently. Oh, well, okay. I see what you're saying. That's your opinion. But
right.
So you didn't answer me the question. I'm saying, so are you saying that the present Indian team is better than the West Indies team when they were winning for 14 years?
They were on top for 14 years. But then again, oddly, I call you the statistician, walking computer.
No, you're not answering me straight because when you say they are the best ever, that means no team
yeah, well, you
has
know,
ever been better than the present team. And I'm
right, but you see, in those days,
right.
West Indies ruled for 14 years. We weren't playing the caliber of teams that they're playing now,
what
I have to be honest.
What are you saying? We have some south teams like the Bangladesh and all those things that West Indies were playing for then. But in those days, it was the best.
Okay,
the best.
All right then. Okay, you twist my arm.
It's your opinion, you twist
my arm, oddly. I'll say India.
You start to push me out.
I'll say India now has the best team since West Indies ruled the roost. I'll put it at that then. You twist my arm, so I'm going to say.
I know they are the best, no. But the ever is a part that I couldn't go.
Now, it doesn't make much sense. I ought to be in love again. Anyone who takes a thing.
Well, it's better never late, but today we're going to be accepting better late than never. And now,
Okay, well, Audley, I stand corrected. I'll say.
We've just moved on today. It was a Henry birthday and anniversary, you know. So we'll come back afterwards if you need to.
Oh, I thought we did that at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but this evening there are some problems to get on and some technical difficulties. So it started late, so that's why we're having the birthday. That's why you are brought in a little early, and the anniversary hour is coming on at 8 o'clock now instead.
Okay, I go along with that.
For
a change is always good.
Yeah, for this evening. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, you have heard a theme song, of course, by Stevie Wonder, and it means that it's time for the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. It's the time of the evening when we look at the cricket fraternity and when we say happy birthday to all those gentlemen and ladies and also an occasional footnote and individuals as we go along. And it's the time of the evening when you also can call in 151-605-9850, 151-605-9850. Welcome to the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Okay, we're going to start with today being the 22nd of December, and 2019 has rushed. I could almost say it has rushed by, but just a few days to go, the Lord's Prayer life that we will be able to see the end of 2019. Okay, so today, cricket, it's the birthday of Sister Derek Parry out of Nevis, Roland Holder from Trinidad and Tobago, Tony Powell out of Jamaica, Ashley Nurse from Barbados, and Natasha McLean, a female cricketer of Jamaica that represents the West Indies. From England, we have Chris Paul, Syed Iqbal, Mahmood. And from India, we have Dilip Doshi. And we have Wizar Muhammad from Wazir Muhammad from Pakistan, Tammy Mitra from Kenya, Brian McMillan from South Africa, Holly Fleming from Australia, and Ashkar Afghan from Afghanistan. For the 22nd, we have Uday Joshi from India, along with Harvinder Singh and Beshal Kaur, female cricketer, Hazel Pichar and Wally Edwards from Australia, Arthur Gullin from England, Don Corley from New Zealand, Laura Denley, female cricketer, from Ireland, and George Powell, the father of Tony Powell, also represented Jamaica. For the 24th, we have Arthur Dolphin from England, along with Reg Seinfeld, and former captain Colin Cowdrey, first cricketer to have played 100 test matches, 114. And Jane Smith, also from England. Jeff Allard from New Zealand, the one who still holds the record for facing the most amount of ball batting for zero. He faced 101 deliveries, and he made big duck. Anwar Khan from Pakistan, and Gordon from Australia, Roy Miller for the West Indies out of Jamaica. And for the 25th, Marcus Kostovic, that's Christmas Day, the 25th, along with Simon Jones, Alistair Cook, and Walter Conford, all Christmas babies. Mansur Akhtar, Mohammed Wazan, also Christmas babies. Donald McCree, Hedley Howard, and Nicky Turner, all from New Zealand. Clarence Griffith and Jodie Davis, female cricketer from Australia. Alice O'Donnell from Kenya. And we have Chenille Daly from West Indies, a female cricketer representing West Indies, also Jamaica. Asad Saeed from the United Arab Emirates. And for the 26th, we have Johan Blake, athlete Johan Blake out of Jamaica will be celebrating. He will be celebrating on the 26th of December. And he'll be sharing with Mr. the super Guyanese batsman, Mr. Rohan Kanhan. He'll be celebrating on the 26th. Ralston Otto from Antigua, Shemar Hetmeyer from Guyana. Yeah, all three share birthdays for the, on the 26th of December. From Australia, Chris Matthews, Sarah Andrews, Rachel Haynes, and Matthew Wade. From England, Barry Wood and Heather Knight. From India, Iqbal Siddiqui. From Pakistan, we have Kasif Raza. And let's go to the 27th. 27th will be the birthday of Mommy Rocket, or you want to call her Pocket Rocket, Shelly-Ann Fraser, out of Jamaica. And cricket, Philip Sharp from England. And David Shepherd, also he's an umpire, but also from England. David Tuluku from Kenya. Glendon Gibbs from the West Indies, represented the West Indies Test cricket out of Guyana. Kevin Wright from Australia. We have New Zealand, Bruce Blair. Mansoor Rana from Pakistan. And for the 28th, finally, the 28th Saturday, we have Donald Kerr from England. Inter Kabalam from Pakistan. Jack Kerr from New Zealand. Shaminda Mendes from Sri Lanka. And Andrew can't make this one out. Just skip that one. Norma Whiteman from Australia. Josephine Bernard from South Africa. Tony Griffith from Zimbabwe. And it's also the first women's test match took place in Brisbane, Australia. That was Australia versus England way back in 1934. So it's been 80-odd years now since the first test match was played, female cricket. First test match was played between Australia and England, Brisbane, in 1934 on this day, the 28th. That was when it began, 28th of December, 1934. And by the way, England won by 9 wickets. That's what I have here for you this evening. I'll come back a little more. Back to you, Ivor.
Yes, indeed. Well, we just want to say you forgot about Father Jesus. But anyway, someone will pick it up over here. Mr. McKenzie.
Well, I don't have a birthday for this part of the year. But there are two things I just want to mention here. It's with much regret, the passing of Basil Butcher, West Indies great batsman. And Reggae Girl, Terry and Clark, funeral took place the other day in Jamaica, the Reggae Girls. So just to mention the regrets of the passing of those two persons, the Reggae Girl, Clark, and Basil Butcher, a former West Indies great. Thank you.
Yeah, what's the name?
Terriana Clark. She played the Reggae Girls. And
it was a terrible incident because she was actually stabbed and killed by her
best friend.
Yes,
right from halfway tree. Yeah, that was very, very awful. Very awful.
Ooh.
Her best friend. You know, I read something once and said, "Lord, help me to know my friends because I already know my enemies." You know, you stay away far from your enemies, but for your friend to be stabbed and killed by your friend.
Wow.
That was terrible. That was right in our tree in Kingston.
Yeah.
She was
everlasting peace.
Excelsior school student, past student. So she was buried the other day with full armor.
Okay, well, Cardinal have to say happy birthday to his niece right about now. So Cardinal.
Yes.
Did you mention anybody who was born in January? Or you haven't reached that part of the year yet?
No, no, you got to wait a long time for that. That person has to wait a whole year for that.
Okay, we'll wait for that. Okay. I hear that.
Happy birthday when it comes, Miss Mackenzie. I see your anxious. Happy birthday when it comes the 2nd of January. We'll wait on his.
Yeah, we'll wait along. We'll wait for it. We'll wait for it. Time will tell. Yeah. Thank you. did you see those coaches in Jamaica? 20 new level 2 coaches. You want to say congratulations to them.
So let's just finish that. And Cardinal, you got one. The bird guru is here with us. Good evening, Donna.
Okay,
good evening.
Go ahead.
All the panelists on the show, hi.
Merry Christmas.
My celebrant for this week, I have to start with my niece who celebrated yesterday, the 21st. That's Keandra Morton. And she's presently in Nevis celebrating and for Christmas as well.
That's nice.
Then I have to salute my parents, Lorraine and Franklin Brown, who will be celebrating their anniversary tomorrow, the 23rd.
Oh, and congratulations to them. Congratulations.
Guess how many years?
Hold on, Donna. I'll tell you. It's going to be
69. 66.
Okay, okay. Well, I was very close.
You are very naughty, naughty. You know it's 66 and you're saying it's 69.
No, I think the last time I heard, maybe just missing, I got it wrong. I thought they were married a little longer than I was born, but as it turned out, is just I was born a little before they were married.
I want to wish them all the best. Then I have my nephew there, Raymo. He's going to be celebrating on Tuesday, Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And then my brother-in-law, he's going to celebrate the 25th. Chris, it's very near this.
That's Chris Morton.
Chris Morton, Vita's dad. Kianja's dad. Vita's husband. Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's all for me from my end.
Okay, well, I'll give you the opportunity to say happy birthday to Veronica as well, because you would have missed out. And we're still in December.
I think I said that last week, that she celebrated on the 14th.
Oh, you were here last week. Okay. My bad.
Yes. Yeah. I got these 2 Sundays off now, so I could be with you.
Very good. Well, that's Donna Beattie, birthday and anniversary guru coming to. Cardinal, she left very little for us today. But give it your shot, Cardinal. Yeah. Give it your best shot.
Yeah. Well, I have to say a happy birthday for my niece, Keandra, celebrated yesterday, as Donna mentioned. I extended her a little bit today. She was wondering about the show, you know, because I was telling her that I was shouting her out for happy birthday yesterday on the show. So, you know, I want to say happy birthday to her. And I want to also say happy birthday to my grandson who celebrated on Thursday. And to the people coming up, Chris Morton, Keandra's dad, Monique is coming up on the 24th. Happy birthday to you, Monique. And I think that's about it for the memories. And my condolences to the family of Basil Butcher and the Caribbean cricket fraternity for all that. I just realized that he was an indigenous Guyanese. You know. So, and he is recognized as the first, what they call this, you know, they call this, the people in the Caribbean and South America, the Amerindians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But he's an indigenous Guyanese, and the first to play for the West Indies.
So, oh,
Michael
didn't know that.
To his family and the Caribbean family as well.
All right, Mr. Patel, you have any anniversary, birthday, birthday celebrants? Waiting for Mr. Patel? Okay. Okay, guess not. He was traveling. Well, I'll just cover it up and make it short because we just have another 40 minutes or so, unless folks want to go over time. But happy birthday to everyone who's celebrating in December. So we're going to just cut the short so Audie can come back, finish it, so we can let the folks know what is actually taking place in cricket. We had some local cricket here. So Audie, you'll do a double. You'll just close it up, and then we'll give you a chance to say what transpired at the Central Bell Regional Park, and then we get back to maybe the West Indies.
Okay, so I have a birthday for tomorrow. No, not tomorrow, the 24th. I have a birthday for Brother Campbell, Alderman Campbell, up there in Winter Haven. His wife celebrated on the 16th, Cherry. I gave her a shout out. She celebrated on the 16th, and he's celebrating on the 24th, and the day before Christmas. Also, Jean Farragon, she is celebrating on the same day as well, on the 24th of December. And let me see if I have anybody here else. No, we're saying happy birthday, Jesus. We're in the season, as a matter of fact, so a lot of Christmas carols are being sung. But it's obvious Jesus is the reason for the season. So we say, and when we say happy birthday, you know, we know that Jesus always existed, but when he was manifested in the flesh, when he put on the flesh of man to represent us before God, died and was resurrected, that not only, he died for us, but he was resurrected, that where he is, we can be with him also. So that's it. And I just want to say happy, give a shout out to the 2020 Vision crew over there in Nevis, Mr. Renford Doerr, and all the crew members of 2020 Vision. Just want to give a shout out to our listeners throughout the world, that we know there are some followers in the UK. We have a lot here in the United States. We have in India, and all different parts of the Caribbean. So just want to give you a shout out, let you know that we're happy that you are following us, and we are here to talk some more cricket, lovely cricket, this evening. And if there's nobody else with any birthdays, and so I'll just close off here. So I think Ivor did hand over to me to close off anyway. So this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. We're going to ask you to join us next week when we'll return, hopefully, to the original time, which will be 7 o'clock, not 8 o'clock like this evening, but 7 o'clock, when once again we'll present the Walter Henry Birthday and the Anniversary Hour.
In the dream that you had so long ago, that lives in all of the hearts of people,
just a little housekeeping. I'm not sure about the Andrew Mason show. They might take off for the Christmas. I think that was the last thing I heard. But on Wednesday for Christmas, gather your greetings, names, and what have you, safe postage. Maybe you can just tell the whole world who you wish Christmas to. We are going to be live from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock. So it's going to be a 6-hour long, as usual, program. So we're going to line them up, and we're going to call people all over the world to wish Merry, Merry Christmas. So you're going to have the likes of Matrice, she was Ruth on that day. We normally have praise by her mother, God-fear Babsy Nisbet. Liam would be on Joe, Cardinal, Sharon. And this time I think we're going to have Audley with us for a very long time. But we're going to be
Maybe.
Okay, well, Audley might be going to Georgia. I'm not too sure. So we're not sure we're going to have him. But I thought we were going to have him this year. But I know Donna would call in at least. And if she can be with us for a very long time, that would be nice too. So I think that's what we have for the bulletin. And then Saturday, we do our thing again on the Saturday morning entertainment show. And Sunday, we're back to our cricket talk at 6 in the p.m. Again, we haven't heard from Leon, so let's hope all is well. We heard from him during the day because we broadcast from the Central Broad Region Regional Park in the stadium today. He was with us, but got a couple of calls to say we were not on. We were just having the elevator music, so I rushed in. Audie and I, we left the park, and now we are here to just help the fallen brother pick up from where Liam would have left off. So let's hope that nothing serious would have happened. We called his private phone at the same time. We're not getting him. So we decided we will pick up the show, and that's why we were late. Audley, we're going to go back to the West Indies, but tell us what transpired at the park on the 11th edition of the U.S. Open, and tell him how you were justly rewarded on Mac TV for the world to see you being recognized.
Okay, so we shared in the 11th edition of the U.S. Open, been played at the Broward Stadium and other venues like the Field 1 and Field 2 and the same compound, but then matches were being played at Mac Stadium at Brian Piccolo Park and a couple other venues. But it's some 28 teams participated, and you know, the first couple of days are, you know, you have the round robin tournament to play each other, and then you have the quarterfinals, semifinals, and the grand finals, which today they had both semifinals inside the main stadium, and then the grand final. But we have seen some lovely cricket. It was greatly hampered because of the inclement weather we had, and still some part of it still persists, certain part of South Florida. So most of the matches were curtailed to 10 overs, and in one instance, one of the match that started as should be 20, it was curtailed to 10, and then more lots of time were going on and off. The players were, you know, regular intervals on and off the field, and eventually it turned out to be a six over a side, and that was the only six over as it turned out. Most of the rest, 10 over a side, and we have seen some good cricket. A lot of sixes being hit, and we have seen some good bowling figures, and we have seen some ugly bowling figures, including today in the final, or in the semifinal, Samuel Badree, of course, world-renowned Samuel Badree, former world number one in the T20 format of the game. He was taken to the cleaners today when he played for the Sultan team. He was taken to the cleaners. Two overs for 38 runs, so he went for 19 per over, which is very unusual for Samuel Badree, but such was the man of the beast, as they call it. And Ali Khan came up with 2 for 23 in his two over spell, 109 overs. In the finals, we had, it was a 15 over affair. It was 15 overs. And I don't know if I want to bring you the finals, but should I just go ahead and give a couple and then come back to the final?
Yes, Ade, you finish it. We don't have much time, so just let you finish it. No problem.
Okay, just a few results from early in the week, like and Friday, and the 20th, we have Cavalier Kings playing the Ohio Falcons, and the Falcons made 97 for 3, and the The Cavalier Kings made 98 for 6, winning with 4 balls to spare. The Global Sports, they made 90 for 4 in their turn at the bat. And Punjab CC, they made 91 for 4. So for the Global Sports lost by one run. It was a nail biter. And we have Houston Stars with guys such as, I think, Umar Gol, former Pakistani international. And they made in their 10 overs 103 for 4. And Michigan CA, they made 104 for 3 with one ball to spare. Not a one ball thing that's closer. And we have the Melrose, Murphy Grove, Miami. They scored 119 for 3 in their Olympic 10 overs. And they fell short. No, not great job, but the smashed their way to 123 for 6. So they won by 4 wickets and 8 balls to spare. And it was Michigan CA. They made 120 for 5 in their 10 overs. And this was the highest score in the competition. And because the Miami Sharks, they swallowed up Michigan CA. They made 141 for 5, thus winning by 5 wickets. So the long and the short of it, today the finals was between, in one of the semifinal matches, Houston Stars, they were all out for 49. Yes, 49. And including 4 runouts. So a friend who was one of those cricketing pundits others here, he said the pitch was taking a lot of runouts. You know, it wasn't like spinner or spin, but a lot of runouts. Was joking. So 4 runouts in the 49 all out. And the Somerset Cavaliers, they replied with 50 for 1 in just 4 overs, knocking it over with 50 for 1 in just 4 overs, and they advanced to the finals. And in the finals, of course, they met the Atlanta Fire. Atlanta Fire batted first, and they scored 103 for 6. And we're saying it's going to be hard for them to defend 103. Well, the Somerset Cavaliers, who are winning for the second time the U.S. Open, they just slowly, like a stroll in the park, ended up making 109 without loss in 10 overs and 1 ball. 10 overs, 1 ball. Shonda Paul Hemorrhage, and that played for West Indies, he played for the side, and he was not out on 53 from 29 deliveries. And Kinnear Lewis, he was not out on 52 from 32 deliveries. And Stewart, the bowler, good bowling figures, 3 for 23 in his three overs. So the champions for this year and champions for the second time around were the Somerset Cavaliers. As they lift the trophy aloft, they are champions for the U.S. Open, the 11th edition, 2019. That's a synopsis of what took place by the stadium.
Yeah, well, we thank you for that, darling. And like we say, it's the 11th edition. And I'm sure they'll be having it again next year. And, of course, we played a part as well. We got a broadcast earlier in the day. And then we had Facebook Live as well. So some folks are still on Facebook Live, and they'll hear Audley's silky voice and my horsey voice on my Facebook page. So, be as it may, we just have another half an hour to go, and if anyone have the score sheet for the last ODI here, I'm sure Simon would like to hear a rundown on that. But Simon, we would have lost the ODI series 2-1. We won the first one, lost the second one badly, and it seems as if losing becomes contagious for West Indies. And I heard someone said earlier that, losing to India is no big thing, but we lost to Afghanistan as well. So losing series is no small matter for us. So if you have a scorecard, yes, if no, Colonel, you were having your say when we went into the birthday hour, I think, right? Concerning
I have my say, yeah.
Do you have the scorecard, Cardinal? If you don't, if you have it, I'd rather you go ahead. You go ahead, Cardinal.
West Indies scored 315 for 5. And India scored 316 for 6.
And the scores, the highlights for West Indies in the batting, we'll do that.
Okay, let me give you the highlights for West Indies. Give me a second.
Just to let you know that India won with 8 balls to spare. They were actually 48
8 balls and 4 balls.
Yes,
8 balls to spare. Okay. The performances.
Slow button by Lewis. 21 out of 58.
Okay, go ahead. Mr. McKenzie, you got it. Go ahead.
Performances.
Lewis had 21 runs off 50 deliveries. That was shocking. Shea Hope, 42. 38 by Chase. 37 by Hetmyer. And 89 by Poran. He was out. Not out batsman. Pollard with 74. Three fours and 7 sixes. And Holder, 7 not out. Those were the run getters. And if you want to see the bowling for India, let me see if I can pick it up here. The Indian bowling.
Shami.
Just the wickets.
Shami, 1 wicket. Go ahead, Mr. Pratt.
Go ahead. You have it.
Well, Jadeja, 1 wicket. And Sammy, 2.
Plain,
and Mohamed Shami.
And Jada got 1.
Jadeja.
Jadeja. 1 wicket. 54 runs.
And very quickly, we have India batting, putting over 100 partnership from between Sharma and Rahul. Again, give some highlights on that for the folks out there in radio land.
Highlight, let me give it that to you.
Yeah. You ready, Cardinal?
Go with it.
Yeah. Okay, with Sharma and Rahul at the top of the order with 63 and 77 respectively. You know, India went off to a massive start, and Virat Kohli followed up with an 85 off 81 balls. The other scores following were not so much to talk about, except when you get down to Jadeja, and I think that's the partnership that West Indies thought would have they should have broken to make some headway into winning the match. But Jadeja stuck around, and he got 39 off 31 to bring India home with 316 runs from 48.4 over. Kima Paul was the pick with 3 for 59 off 9.4. Cotswell, not as economical as he usually is.
And that's
not
right.
As much wicket as he usually does. He got 1 for 74 off 10. Holder, 1 for 63 off 10. Chase was most economical with 4 for 19. None for 19 or 4. And I think that's the way West Indies would have had to bowl to win this match.
Definitely.
It was not so much about picking up wickets, but contain a rampant Sharma and Rahul in top order, and then later on Virat Kohli in the thing. I mean, they quietly made their runs. I mean, it wasn't some massive, 150 strike rate, except for Jadeja down further, we've got 125 strike rate. We've got the 39 now, 41. But Chase, you know, kept it where it was supposed to be. Joseph, 8, 1 for 53 off 8. So, you know, India rolled home kind of comfortably. And so, but, you know, most of all, like I said, it was a competitive match.
I have a question. Why is it that...
Go ahead. Well, I come
yeah,
back
my question, why is it that Al-Zahra Joseph have to be our fifth bowler or sixth bowler every time in these matches? He's much quicker than Holder. Is it that he's not a new ball bowler, or Holder is a better new ball bowler, or Holder needs the shine to help him along? I mean, we're so routine. I don't like the idea that Holder is opening my bowling. I'm serious. When I grew up playing cricket, I used to be vexed as small as I was, hearing so much about Harlan, Griffith, and Pierce. And when Sobers take up the ball to bowl, somehow I used to be mad. I don't know why. But I just believe he's supposed to be Harlan, Griffith. And when they're ready to bowl, it's Sobers that gets spinning. So now that we're coming back to the same thing where we chastise Holder for opening the bowling when he was the captain. And now we have a different captain and giving Holder the same ball to bowl. So would anybody criticize our present captain for doing the same thing that we criticize Holder for doing for himself? That's a question I'm putting out there.
I mean, I think Holder has a tendency to be very economical, very miserly in terms of, you know, his bowling. And sometimes, you know, very often he also picks up an early wicket. And if anything, I would think those are the parameters by which he's allowed to open the bowling or you know, give the ball. And it's not about his pace, but usually he's very, very economical. And this is, you know, having put 215 on the board, this is a time to be economical, not so much to pick up wickets, but to keep things tight. And you know, that could be the justification for it.
But it's not only in this match, so this is an ongoing thing. So if Holder is going to be our opening bowler to Panna Cottrell, well, we might as well say these are the bowlers who are hunting in pairs. But I don't believe in that. Cottrell to me is a wicket taker. He picks up wicket early. And if you want somebody to just peer with him, left, right, Al-Zahra Joseph have to take up the ball to bowl, for me, in my book. Couldn't have my captain hat right now. And then the experience of Holder, when the gung-ho is coming on, he should be there, left with bowlers. I mean, with overs. Now they're making Bravo look good, and now I'm in Bravo's corner. Bravo always want to say, give me the death overs to bowl. So why Holder can't be our death bowler? And just bowl yorkers and slow balls and all that kind of stuff. Like you were saying, Cardinal, okay, don't need wickets, but you need now to take pace off the ball, roll your fingers over. Why can't we use the experience of Holder to do that? And why Chase would only bowl four overs for 19 runs? So we're not going to criticize our captain for saying, well, Chase, you can bowl 10 overs, going at 4 and over, we win the match. Why? Yeah.
Well, it depends on when they actually brought on Chase still, you know, because I'm just looking when...
He came on before Al-Zahra Joseph. He came on before Joseph.
Oh, okay.
And if you're bowling well, continue bowling. Nothing wrong if you bowl him out and he bowls over them, like I don't say, without wickets, but he bowls for a 3 and over, 4 and over. You peg back the guys. Then they have to go gung-ho. 215 is a lot of runs to lose. I don't care. I'm not taking it where we're saying, well, we did well, and it's India, and it's that. You're supposed to defend that. The only way I'm going to excuse you for not defending that if they were hitting sixes, because you can't defend six. There's too much space up there. But you must be able to either bowl on one side of the wicket and you put your best fielders there. Or we have to take back the captaincy from the captain and say, go back on the boundary, you and Russell and Sammy and Holder, tall guys, to pull in these balls. Because I know when Pollard was not captain, he would save runs out there, and Sammy and the Russells, and bring in catches that would have marked six all over them, So if that's what we're going to lose, because we cannot defend 300 runs, and Cardinal said it here, because we were at the game, so we didn't see it. They cruised to it without taking a lot of chances. That means they were playing in the gap, so they were playing on both sides of the wicket, and playing without taking too many chances to win 316 with overs to spare. I'm not going to take it as a consolation that, okay, well, we played India and we did well. No, they were supposed to win off the last ball then, if that's it, an overthrow or something. That, to me, we're cruising. My word.
I told you I wanted to mention, comment on something, take issue with something that Cardinal mentioned.
Is yes.
That, with the ODI T20, it is necessary. I know not all the time is like there are times when the match is in such a state that you have to bowl in a defensive way, trying not to get the wicket then, but to prevent the other side, prevent the batsman from be too comfortable and let him reach for it. And if he reach and hit the ball, well, so be. But you play in an ODI match, I think you have to have wicket-taking bowlers. Because if you just try, in other words, at one end, you have to have a bowler that is bowling to take wicket. And the other end, you can have someone that is containing, trying to contain the batsman. Because if they are relaxed for the entire 50 overs, they don't have, like just like today, they don't have to take much chances. Right? So therefore, they're going to cruise home to victory. You have to have bowlers who are bowling to take wickets, because when you have the final 10 overs and you still have 6-7 wickets in hand, you can't
true.
Stop
that's
them
true.
Again.
That's
so you
true.
Have to have a bowler
Rest
that is taking wickets. Right. Not just to prevent them from scoring. We need to have bowlers to take wickets up front to peg them back, or else it's going to be a problem for the bowling side.
Okay, I guess kind of don't have a comment on that, so we leave it at that.
I thought somebody was going to come in, but no, I mean, hey, it's at your advantage to take wickets, but if you got that stronghold from the beginning of the over, remember, you a one-day match, a limited overs match, you're not forced to take wickets. Your first priority is to, and with having runs on the board, your first priority is to get those overs finished before the batsmen get to that number of runs that you got on the board. So taking wickets is an advantage.
But Cardinal,
but when
Cardinal,
when you
if you don't take
when
wickets,
you, when you
have
even if you have
wicket, opportunity, the more wickets they
yes.
have in hand, especially come to the end,
totally
of the end of the inning, it's going to be a problem. So you have
I
to
totally
have
agree.
Bowling to get wicket.
I totally agree. But
okay.
If you got to be hustling down there, when you start looking for runs on a hustle, then that's where you become more risky, and that's where the wickets should fall. But when you have these guys playing so comfortably up front, scoring runs, you and even if you pick up a wicket here or there, you know, you got them settled in comfortably to make runs. What you want to do is to not have them make those runs, particularly when you have already put it on the board. So, if your focus is on taking wickets, you try things to take wickets rather than try things to contain batsmen. If you can't contain the man because they are just people like that, you know, that's just it. Look at Kohli. Kohli Kohli is your top scorer, 85 of 81. Okay? And just over 100 strike rate. All of the others are Sharma is at 100, and you know, we know Sharma is much faster scorer than that. So the effort here should show that they were batting comfortably. 315 runs, they made it look easy.
And that's the problem, Cardinal, and that's what I'm saying.
the fact that they didn't even have to bat at 100 strike rate, most of them that make runs didn't have to bat at 100 strike rate. That's the problem. That's why you need to have wicket-taking bowlers going at them. Because if you just try to contain them, look at the result of the match. What happened? Because they tried to contain them. And at the end of the end of it, we lost the match still. So without you have wickets falling, there's nothing can take back the flow of runs.
Okay.
And we can take
let me be the middleman here, since we're running out of time, because David would have looked at the match. And based on what David is telling me, I think Colonel have a point in that the fielding was very poor. And that, I believe, accounted for the thing. So, although they were not getting wickets, if they would have, you know, stopped a couple of holes, boundary.
Did they drop catches?
I'm not sure. I guess we didn't see the match, but based on what David is saying, is the poor fielding that he is saying that cost us the match. So, I'm saying if ball's going through even a holder leg down on the boundary and some others, I am saying no, the catches, if there were no catches, then stop those boundary balls and do not let them turn one into twos and twos into threes and stuff. Based on what David would have said, it would have been a tighter match. They may have won then, but not with so many balls to spare. Because 315 is a lot of runs to win with balls to spare. We must say, you know, no one man made a double 100. Chama didn't go make a double 100. He was in a zone and he got away. It was a team effort, and down to number 7, whatever, Jarav or somebody down there make 20 something or whatever it is. That's very much light.
Less than. More than 100 strike rate.
Fend those. If they were hitting sixes, you cannot defend six. You can't jump over the lamp pole. But once the ball is on the ground, your angles have to be right. Like today, you said it oddly, the guy had to put his foot. What's the South Africa guy name? Theron was setting his heel to make sure the guy had his left foot on the right blade of grass. No. One more there. An inch there. And then bowling with wides in there and conceding only 4 runs. So sometimes, like I said, he didn't get a wicket in the over, but he made sure I'm getting my angles right. Bam, ball straight in the guy's hand. Bam, ball going straight to the guy. Or what about you? No run. Just a little to the right. You're going to come hard, but stop it. Sometimes you have to play pool in cricket. You shoot that ball from this end here, it can only go in that pocket. You bowl this certain ball here, unless you're a Vivi Richards who can take the same ball from your leg stump to covers, and the same ball, hit it over backward square, the next one. Not too many batsmen can do that. Getting close, guys. Getting close. We just have all of 10 minutes to go. It's Christmas again. I know we're going to have a lot of talk come Christmas Day. I'm sure we're going to push some cricket in there. But quickly, Pakistan playing at home. They listen to us. We ask that Pakistan should be playing some matches at home. They're taking on Sri Lanka. And they're on the verge of winning the second test match. Anybody have that? I know I was looking at it earlier this morning, but I think
Pakistan is coming into its own now.
Sri Lanka made some early inroads.
And I think they want to begin to play test cricket at home. Australia is trying to help them next year with send the A team over there. So I think it's time Pakistan.
But I think playing in Pakistan this match? They're playing in Pakistan.
This test is being played in Karachi.
Yeah,
but they have been playing many home matches, so they have been asking for it, and Australia sends the A team there next year.
But what I'm saying, in this sense of time, there, Colonel, you say you have it. I know they're on the verge of winning some, maybe 7 or so Sri Lankan wickets would have fallen. They rattled Pakistan in the first innings under 200, but they came back with over 500 declared in the second inning. Pakistan.
3 wickets. 500.
Right, something like that. Yes, I was looking at it, and when Sri Lanka was batting today, I know they They had about maybe 3 weeks.
212 for 7
in reply. 3 weeks ago. That's just a little before lunchtime, I guess.
Yeah, so
Sammy's
going to be in jubilation because they're going to win this one. So we have to say congratulations to them. I think they were hard pressed, hard done over the years.
Definitely, definitely.
And the opening batter, Fernando, he is still batting on 102, so he might just end up. Well, I'm hoping that he carries back through the innings. Yes.
Okay.
And the wicket keeper, De Quila made 65. He's the other useful contributor.
Quickly, what's next for West Indies, and then we're going to close it up. There's no test matches, we know.
Ireland coming early.
Ireland will be in January. Three ODIs and three T20s.
No test matches.
No test matches.
No.
Not against Ireland.
Okay, folks, so stand by for that. Just around the corner, January, just around the corner. We will keep you up to date with what's taking place between the West Indies, ODIs, and T20s. So, Simon, 30 seconds.
Okay.
30 seconds.
That's right for me. And once again, I'm going to wish all our listeners, friends, family, everyone, a very, very Merry Christmas and a very happy and safe New Year. Thanks once again for all that we learned on the panel this evening. And I have my son and his wife and family here with us. They're on their way to a cruise tomorrow, Bahamas, for the Christmas. And I wish them a safe passage there and back.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Wonderful week, y'all. See you next week on the radio, as Mr. McKenzie likes to say. And we'll have a show on Wednesday also from 9 to 3 to send out Christmas greetings. I hope
yes, indeed.
We'll be able to make Thank you so
Thank
much,
you
gentlemen. Good night, all.
Thank you. Good night, Mr. McKenzie.
Yes, I just want to say thanks to everyone. Thanks to you and all our contributors. Thanks to our listeners. I want to wish you a very safe and pleasant and enjoyable Christmas. Looking forward to the new year with great expectations and high hopes. In the meantime, I want to left a reminder with you that next year is the International Year of Women. Big thing at the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, where the women's T20 finals will be played, and Katy Perry will be there to rock you in your seats. So book your passage for Australia, Melbourne Cricket Ground next year, March 8th, International Year of the Women, and the women's finals T20 played at the Melbourne Oval. So with that, I leave you with best wishes for Christmas once again, and all the very best for the new year. Thank you very much for having me on, and thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Send us a postcard, Mr. McKenzie.
Yes, I
from
see
Melbourne.
You on the radio.
From Melbourne. Next
Melbourne. Sunday. Yes, definitely.
Cardinals?
Yes, good show, gentlemen, and I want to thank you for allowing me to join you on this one. We are a little bit heartened, you know, even though we've lost out in India, where we thought we should have done more to win. But, you know, let's hope that there's something to look forward to in terms of our performance as an international competitor. And hopefully I'll be here with you gentlemen to talk about that as well. But for now, I just want to say good night, and we'll talk again next Sunday a little bit more quickly. Thank you for joining.
Okay.
Some little technical glitches, but we haven't still managed to come in with some show, which
I'm very happy we were able to do that. And sort of one of those hectic weeks, but we are here and we thank God for it. Just want to remind for 6 hours this Wednesday, and make your list. And if you want to have it in different phases, phase one, then music, and then you come back with another set, phase two and phase three. But make sure you write it down. I said that a small piece of pencil is better than a long memory. You know, sometimes the memory fails. So just write it down, and then you can come and just read it out when it's time to say your greetings. So until Wednesday, God will be, you know, just let me leave with a little thought here. If you have plans to do anything, and you know, the first thing you have to do is to believe you can, and you're halfway there. See how the rules of it say that? Just believe that you can. And just by believing that you can, with God's help, of course, you are halfway there. With God's help, you'll complete. Talk to you on Wednesday, God willing.
Yes, thank you very much.
How I wish that I was here, close to you. I'm sure that Christmas here is beautiful, but oh, with you it's much better, so much better. Baby, as I reach out for your picture, thinking beauty in a frame to hold it close to me, it gets better, but could never be the same if I could hear you call my name when you're coming to me. The fireplace and coat can keep me warm, but in your arms I feel better, so much better. I wish I could be home.
Could be home for Christmas time with you. The late great Kenny.